I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
From Radiotopia, welcome to the heart. I'm Caitlin Prest, your host. This story is about community. It's about finding music that knows your insides, that feels like it came from there. It's about suddenly being in a room full of your people and in that moment realizing how long you've been holding yourself in. It's about finding a place where you finally understand what freedom feels like, where you can dance so hard that your soul breaks through your skin and vibrates in the pulsing of the air. Ellie Lightfoot is a producer who we met recently. She's from Seattle, and for the past year, she's been going back and forth between Seattle, which is her hometown, and here, New York, working on this piece with Mitra. It's her very first one.
It's one thing to know about dance music, to read about its history, to know the names of the queer brown and black artists who invented this music back in the 80s and 90s, to maybe even slap the label of a safe space on your party, but it's a whole other thing to embody it. I first met Giroux the day I was supposed to fly back to New York. It's Seattle, so it was raining, of course. We met at a noisy coffee shop, maybe the single worst place I could find to hold an interview. Babies were screaming, baristas were slamming their wands on the counter every 3 minutes, but that all fell away pretty quickly as soon as she started talking to me about darkness.
I'm Renee Giroux Green, aka Reverend Dollars. For me, like, I've always been very focused on, like, having darkness be a community space, serving the queer and trans POC community. If it's not doing that, then it's failed in its objective.
She told me about throwing parties in basements in the Central District, a historically black neighborhood facing rapid gentrification.
I look at that very much as like a preserving of space. Show the blackness of electronic music.
And here's the thing. I've been involved in the techno community a long time. I've heard organizers riff on the social justice-y aspect of their parties, how their dance floors can create unity, provide sanctuary to those on the margins, as places like Paradise Garage had back in the 80s. But it was so different when I met Giroux. There was nothing theoretical or abstract about it. Darkness was carving out space specifically for the city's cutie pock population. That's queer trans people of color. But what does that look like? How can something so simple, so frivolous, like throwing a party, actually help keep people together? Help keep people alive? I went back to Seattle several times over the next year to find out, to talk to the other members of Darkness, all seven of them.
My name is Brian Ely, a rap under the name Brian Z, and I'm a member of the Darkness Collective.
Hi, my name is Helen Wong.
It's Brett Greenwell, or Brett Brutality.
I'm Aaliyah, also known as DJ Riff Raff. I will note that I came out 1 year before that, like, Spring Breakers rapper.
Kalente.
Just, like, bangers, like, dance hall, ballroom type stuff. Yeah, just really cunty, like, bangers and, like, hood queer music.
The member of Darkness who's most tied to ball culture is Jade Dynasty.
I'll, like, go out there and I'll, like, work my little go-go magic and be like, come on, y'all. I'm like, come on, come on. And then everybody will start voguing and I'm like, yes!
I think that when you come in, you're going to be met with a warm welcome.
When I went to my first darkness, it was actually a house party, and they had lights set up.
Lighting that's going to make you look more gorgeous than you already do, and
turn out a look and feel comfortable doing it.
A sound that's going to make you feel like you're alive.
And it's loud, and it's weird, and
Brit's probably, she's a host for a lot of events, but yeah, she's our host.
Yes, bitch. That fucking pussy. Show that pussy. The looks are so cute. Everyone is precious. And you can tell that there are also people who are allowing themselves to let their freak flag fly. Whereas, like, maybe they have a 9-to-5 and they're the only queer person in the office. And it's like, but it's fucking 9 o'clock on a Friday and there's a darkness party and I'm gonna click my septum in and we're gonna do some shit. And it's gonna be cute.
I grew up in like a small town, 30 miles outside of Seattle, of like 100,000 people. You know, there really isn't much there culture-wise. There's like one gay bar there, and it's even worse than any of the gay bars in Seattle. I hated it and never really found my way to fit in and was like bullied a lot and ended up dropping out. I started producing when I was 16, mostly whack hip hop beats. Oh my gosh, I like ripped a CD of old beats and I've got them on here. Okay, this kicks in, I know it does. I chopped up some like Roberta Flack. I definitely held on to like loyalty as like a hip hopper in the midst of like all the rock kids who were out in the suburbs with me. So when I first heard house music, it was like the first music I encountered that really spoke to me directly as a black queer person. It was more just kind of like the feeling in the music. And it didn't have kind of like the explicit heterosexual coding that like most hip-hop and R&B at the time had. Since I was like 19, 20, you know, I'd come down to Seattle and go clubbing on the weekends, either, you know, straight or mixed spaces. Like, you know, I was pretty much closeted back then. But, you know, that was when I first really became exposed to house music. It was kind of this thing where, like, oh, I could go to, like, mixed nights and dance to great music, but they'd be, like, mostly straight crowds. Or I could go to these gay club nights that had terrible music, dominated by, like, the needs and tastes of, like, cis white gay men.
Seattle can be really challenging in the queer community. People often do not want to hear music that they have not heard a million times, right? It's like the age-old story, and it's getting better. Like, back in the day when I was playing, let me tell you, when I was playing in, like, 2008 and 99, it was like, I mean, it was impossible. Like, the queers were not having it. You know what I mean? They were like, they just wanted to hear, like, I want to make love in the club. You know what I mean? Like, which, great track. Like, good track. But also, let's, like, challenge that.
For a while, I was frustrated because I was getting bookings as a hip-hop DJ, but no one would book me for dance music nights.
Such a like Patagucci, like Columbia, Arc'teryx kind of world. Yeah. Like, I don't go hiking. I've never been on a hike.
There aren't that many spaces in Seattle where QT Pac could just be and exist and not feeling like they're like shaded out.
I went to this like house night, and yeah, it was all these like cis lesbians and like straight girls just like touching my body and like being like, oh my god, I touch it, oh my god, like I don't know what you are, but like you're turning me on, and da da da, and just like this total overly sexualization of like my androgyny and like my transness and my like gender and nonconformity. And it was just like disgusting, and I was like, I ended up having to leave. Like that's the reason why we don't go to those parties, because they're violent as fuck and we tend to get abused.
White dominated male spaces, gay or not, are dangerous places to be. I've seen like so much gross, fucked up behavior happen in those spaces that like it, you don't get a pass just because you're gay.
For the longest time, like I've like have been like the only trans person like in my community, like out here, like it was like the only one. Like we have so much repressed shit out here. People are like so like scary as fuck. I don't get it. I'm like, and but everybody's like low key like so into some like intense faggotry, but they're like so like don't want to like come out of the closet. I know so many DL people. It's like, y'all need to buck up. I'm like, I'm out here like walking around in like booty shorts and like green hair with like armpit hair and like titties. Like, psh. Like, come on. Like, if I can do that, you can like be fucking, you know, queer or something. Like, come on.
So the idea for Darkness started around May, June 2014. So there was, you know, a lot of conversation about needing our own spaces apart from like the white, cis, gay dominated scene in Seattle. And then there was also around the same time this tragedy where two gay black men were murdered.
27-year-old Ahmed Saeed and 23-year-old Dewan Anderson Young were shot and killed on the morning of June 1st in Leschi. Police don't think the killings were a robbery or connected to drugs. They do believe this could have been a hate crime.
I didn't know Ahmed Saeed or Dewan Anderson Young personally, but we definitely had like many friends of friends. And like, I went to the vigil for them, and I just saw so many people I knew from the community there. I don't want to like make it sound like, you know, this is all about their deaths or anything, but it was something where I was like, okay, I feel like there's this need in the community, and hopefully I can fill it. I found this really amazing basement in the Central District that was owned by a group of black queer women.
The MLK Way House, the Milky Way House.
I asked Kalente if they wanted to DJ that party with me, and he suggested Helen too.
It just felt good that it was happening.
So I was just like, hey, do you guys want to become partners with me permanently?
Somebody make some noise in this joint. 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 Somebody make some noise in this joint.
It's beautiful that I have space to hold my queerness, my like brownness, my like freaky gender weirdness, and my musical interests that can hold all those things is like, it's amazing, right?
When I did do those like more like gay nights, it was just techno. And then when I would do the club nights, it was just club. And then with Darkness, I feel like I have the freedom to play literally anything I want. People will eat it up.
I like to play very sexual music. And I like to play sexual music that comes from viewpoints that aren't heard. It's just like, you know, as a trans woman, you know, there isn't much music out there that like represent sexuality from, you know, what my standpoint would be. I just made this track. It's called Good Girl Dick. And it's just like, oh, you know, flipping Biggie's line, I got that good dick, girl, you didn't know. And changing it to, I got that good girl dick, you didn't know. And it's banging as fuck.
Dick in your face, dick in your face, dick in your face, dick in your face, dick in your face. Put my dick in your face.
When I think of darkness, I think of like just like very authentic presence on the dance floor where we like we're here and so are our ancestors and we're gonna like move our bodies and then all of a sudden like you're hearing these like unfamiliar beats that are just like so big and like and they capture you and then you see these bodies moving and then all of a sudden they'll be like some like Vogue like popping off and then you're just like, wow.
Yes, bitch. That fucking pussy. Show that pussy.
I think that like nightlife creates this space where you can become anybody.
You're claiming your space when you Vogue. You're like, this is mine, this is my moment. Voguing comes from like black and brown, like queer and trans folks who were heavily oppressed and like didn't have space to express themselves in the ways that they wanted and like express femininity as like a masculine person or like, you know, embracing your femininity as a trans person.
Jade is able to bring something to such a like sterile city that is so the opposite. I've seen death drops before, but the wild abandon of Jade's voguing style. Like, what is that death drop? Like,
I just started. Yeah, just like, people were just like, oh, you're voguing. And I was like, what? What's voguing? And then I found out what it was and it like blew my mind because I was like literally like homeless at the time and like, you know, going from fucking party to party, couch to couch and like trying to hook up to like have somewhere to stay and like doing sex work. And then to like find out about voguing, you know, it's just like so beautiful. And it's like, and it comes from people like just like me, like, you know, so I was like, fuck yeah. Like, and it honestly changed my life.
And she's out here like trying to build up other little baby queers that like don't even have any fucking rhythm. And it's like, but you can vogue, bitch. And like Jade is working with people.
It's incredibly bittersweet because it's over in like 4 hours, you know?
It's hard to galvanize the people who you're doing it for, the queer people of color, because this is a city where it's hard to get people out anyway. Like, people don't want to go out here. So it's already tough to hit like a good volume of people when you're catering to a smaller group. Nightlife is actually the whitest I ever see this city. When I'm just out and about and people are trying to lead their lives and go to work and stuff, I see brown people everywhere I go. But when you get to more frivolous shit, like brown people are exhausted from, I'm exhausted from existing. Like half the time I want to just sleep the entire time between like clocking out of work and clocking back in. So going to parties and shit, like our herd has been thinned a lot by the time you get to the door.
When I visited Jero over the summer, a lot had changed. Aaliyah had moved on. Jade, the person you just heard talk about voguing, had left the collective too. Darkness wasn't financially stable enough for her at the time. Since June, Darkness will be held monthly at Rebar, one of Seattle's oldest, most beloved gay clubs, which is good in the sense that now they have a permanent home to call their own, but hard in the sense that it's in Capitol Hill, the land of Amazon and tech bros and fancy cafes.
Even if we're not on some like I hate white people shit. There's this like really delicate thing where it's like there are white people who I love and care about and who I would like to be able to bring around, but we're doing this to create a space for people of color. So where do we draw that line to say like, okay, we've got to exclude people to make sure this is a safe space for people of color, but also we still have to exist within a capitalist system. And like, if the people of color aren't coming, then we're just throwing this party for nothing. Like, seriously, for nothing, losing off of it, and not even getting to have a party out of it.
While sustainability will always be part of the equation, people are showing up. And Giroux's initial vision of building a community where there wasn't one is definitely happening.
If you're queer, it's easy to be isolated, you know, and then throw being a POC or Black on top of that, and being in, you know, a majority white city, that's something that we have to combat however we can. And staying in community is very important to that. And it's also been really fruitful to see the other events that have popped up in the wake of darkness. It feels really good to know that we're providing space to forge those ties.
It just reminds me of home when we get, like, these darkness events. This is just so sappy, but like it fills my heart.
This story was produced by Ellie Lightfoot in collaboration with Mitra Gaboli and Darkness. Editorial advising by Julia Alsop, Lily Sullivan, and fact-checking by Max Pearl. Huge thanks to all of the collective members of Darkness that spent time with Ellie crafting this story. Jero Green, Kalente Cardwell, Howen Wong, Aaliyah Mahoney, Brian Ely, Britt Greenwell, and Jade Dynasty. All the music you heard in today's episode was either taken from the Darkness Mix series, which you can find on Darkness's SoundCloud page, or produced by Jero, aka Reverend Dollars herself. To hear more music by Darkness and to find out about all the folks you heard in our episode, we will have tons of links on our website, theheartradio.org. Maybe consider booking them for your next party. The Heart is me, Caitlin Prest, Mitra Gaboli, Phoebe Wang, Jen Ng, and Sharon Mashihi. You should follow us on Instagram. It's @theheartradio. Thanks, as always, to AdZerk and Radiotopia. See you later.
Radiotopia.